It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right, welcome to Money for Lunch. We're going to jump right into it with the quote of the day. Sometimes adversity is what you need to face in order to become the best version of you. And that is attributed to the unknown. So I'll take full credit for it. All right, let's get this party started. I am being joined today by Dick Trom. Dick Trom was the first runner to complete a marathon with a prosthetic leg when he crossed the finish line in 1976 New York City Marathon. In 1983, he founded Achilles International, whose mission is to enable people with all types of disabilities to participate in mainstream running events. Today, Achilles has more than 110 chapters in 41 countries. Dick Trom, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you here. So I got to ask you this. Here you are. You lose a leg, which is, I think, pretty traumatic. But what was the inspiration? What made you want to run the marathon, the New York Marathon, with a prosthetic leg? Prior to that, were you a pretty avid runner?
No. Actually, I was a wrestler in high school and college, and the bad stuff after the workouts and the punishment was running. But what happened is years later, I became involved with a group, and the group was a group of runners, and this is what happened.
Wow. Okay, that's funny. All right. Yeah, okay, so why don't you tell us real quick about Achilles International. What was the catalyst? What was the inspiration to create Achilles International?
Well, I ran my first marathon in 1976. And I continued the running races, and I kept on coming in dead last. And I thought it would be nice to get some other people involved, and I wouldn't keep on coming in dead last.
Yeah, you know, that's that's a pretty smart way. You know, find some people who are slower than you, get them to run with you, and you know you're not going to come in dead last.
Yeah, on a more serious note, I got a tremendous amount out of it, and I felt it would be nice to share this knowledge.
Sure. No, absolutely. You know, I think as humans go, we sometimes shy away from doing hard things, and there is a thrill, there is a certain excitement when you do something that seems impossible, like running a marathon, and it almost, you know, obviously we would love to come in first or be in the top five, but I think that there's a certain amount of joy and self-confidence and pride that comes when finishing something hard, even if you come in dead last.
Yeah, the beauty of running marathons is that you don't necessarily have to win. In other words, finishing is a win. And
right,
we're doing, very honestly, is we're introducing people to achievement, and we're getting people to do things that in many, many cases would be considered impossible.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, this might sound a little funny, but I think that there is something about adulthood, quote unquote adulthood, where we don't push ourselves the way we used to, and of course we're afraid of looking bad and being embarrassed, and so we shy away from doing hard things, and I think we lose a little bit of the juice of life when we try to avoid you know, having a problem or dealing with something hard or pushing ourselves to do something hard, don't you think?
I think so. But on the other hand, as we become adults, we realize that it's as much fun or it's even more fun to help other people. And
sure.
The Achilles volunteers.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and I think you're right. I think that we do eventually realize that it is fun and rewarding to serve other people. All right, so you wrote a book, The Courage to Go Forward, The Power of Micro Communities, and the cover of the book is very eye-catching. Let's talk about the book a little bit. What was the inspiration behind writing the book, The Courage to Go Forward?
Okay, David Cordani, who is the CEO of Cigna, and he's an Ironman triathlete. He's run many marathons, and he's run several marathons with disabled Achilles members. And we were discussing this, and the issue is how could people, particularly folks who are double amputees, run 26 miles? And we were talking about it, and what came out of it was really the group or the micro community. In other words, the way that someone could do something like that that really is impossible is to become part of a micro community. That's
yeah.
How I started. In other words, it would have been virtually impossible for me to have run a marathon had I not become a member of a micro community. And that's what the book is about.
Gotcha. And when you say a micro community, are we talking about a very niche community? What is a micro community?
Volunteer or a friend. We're talking about a small group that goes out to workouts on a Saturday morning. Or we're talking about a larger group that competes in the New York City Marathon. In other words, we're talking about others.
Gotcha. All right, so how did you meet David? Is it Cordani?
Yeah, David Cordani. We've been working together for about 10 years, and basically Cigna is the presenting sponsor for the Disney Marathon along with other events. Which we participate in, and we've had many people with disabilities competing in these events, and we developed a relationship.
Awesome. Which goes to show you, again, the benefit of being involved and putting yourself out there in the community or in a micro community, because you get to meet people that are that are out there trying to better the communities.
Well, it's also a situation where you see someone possibly on an artificial leg running, and you have this feeling of helping someone, you know, in the sense of a Horatio Alger moment.
Mm-hmm.
Here's someone who is trying to achieve, and it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling to help that person.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's go back to the Achilles International. You're in 41 countries, 110 chapters. How long has Achilles International been around now?
Okay, believe it or not, we've been around 36 years. We just celebrated our 36th year.
Wow. Good for you. And you have, is it called the Freedom Team?
Yes, we have five different programs, but one of them is the Freedom Team. And this is several hundred recently wounded veterans. So what we did, and we started this in 2004, is we would go down to Walter Reed Army Medical Center and recruit people who are just weeks out of combat. So I would have the honor of going over to someone lying there in bed having lost a leg or two, and I'd ask him, are you running the New York City Marathon? You know, and they'd look at me like I was either nuts or I was trying to make a horrible joke. But what I was doing is I was implanting seeds, you know, and all of a sudden they found that there were other people at Walter Reed who were running marathons. And my goodness gracious, what a wonderful thing to think about while you're going through surgeries and you know, major life-changing issues. So like one person, for example, he lost his leg below the knee. And he was pretty sharp, and he was lying there. And, well, how do you feel about it? And his reaction, this is true, was, well, at least I'm not going to have to run anymore. And then a year later, he's running the Boston Marathon. And all of
I love that.
But what we're doing is we're giving these people an opportunity to become part of a group. There's lots of downtime between, you know, losing a leg or two and leaving the hospital. So you have a surgery, you have a week or 2 weeks between surgeries, you're, you know, basically bored, and all of a sudden you have a sport. And in effect, all of the people that we work with there are athletes. You know, you don't join the armed services if you're not an athlete of some sort. And you have a sport, you have fun, you have goals, and you have the joy of competing. So another story, young man, he may have gone through 20 or 30 surgeries, and he's getting ready for his surgery next week, and he says, sir, can we postpone the surgery for a week so I can run the New York City Marathon? Isn't that a wonderful way to go through rehabilitation?
Yes, absolutely.
And we're providing these people with a halo. In other words, you're there at Walter Reed, and you're walking around, and people know that you're a marathoner, and they treat you differently. They treat you as someone who has succeeded, and this helps you do other things and succeed in other ways. You know, going back to school, getting married, you know, getting a good job, whatever. But you have this halo. People see you differently, and you feel very good about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you're talking about going and visiting our brave men and women and implanting this idea of them running the marathon, running a marathon, the idea that struck my head was there's a quote from a movie. The movie's called Inception. And in that, what do you call it? In that movie, the main character, played by Leo DiCaprio, says that, you know, there is nothing more resilient than idea, right? Once an idea has taken hold of the brain, it's almost impossible to eradicate, right? It becomes almost like a virus. It starts to, you know, keep you up at night. It begs you to give it more energy. So that's what I'm thinking, that, you know, you're implanting this little idea that just because they have lost a limb or possibly two limbs or whatever, that they're not bound by those losses.
Absolutely. I tell a story that is accurate, except it's often time. When I lost my leg, you know, you see a psychologist, and the psychologist comes in, and he says, look, Dick, you know, you lost your leg, but it's really all not that serious. There's virtually nothing that you cannot do now that you could have done before. And I said, no, that's not true. And he said, well, name something and I'll show you how it's not true. So I said, well, I'll never beat Frank Shorter in the marathon. Now, in 1977, I was running New York and Frank Shorter was running New York. And at 16 mile, he dropped out. I finished, so I beat him in the marathon.
Nice. Nice. And so when you're having this conversation with this doctor, and you bring up the marathon, did he correct you? Did he plant an idea in your head?
No, but what he did is he gave me an opportunity to be stubborn. In effect, I won the conversation. In other words, I beat him at his own game, and that no, I he could have said, "You're right. You know, you're not going to beat Frank Shorter in the marathon." And then I went ahead and I did it.
Oh, that's amazing. Good for you. Good for you. All right. And if you don't mind me asking, how did you lose your leg?
Okay, this is back in 1965. I was 24 years old, and I stopped at a gas station on the New Jersey Turnpike, standing behind my car while it's getting gas, and another car hit me into my car.
Mm.
And he hit me so hard, he actually broke his radiator.
Wow.
So he stepped, he was trying to slam on the brake. He was slipping, and he tried to slam on the brake, but instead of slamming on the brake, he slammed on the gas.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You know, those things happen. If you go back and think about life, literally everybody has a situation like that. Now, it might not be losing a leg, but it's, you know, you go through an issue such as a divorce. You go through an issue of having cancer. You go through an issue where you have a serious problem with a child. You know, everybody has, in effect, you know, quote, lost a leg at some point during your life. And it's a very, very normal thing.
Yeah, absolutely correct. You know, we are all going to have something, you know, let's call it tragic, something that causes us to maybe be shocked or want to withdraw from life. And it's just a matter of, what do you call it, of persevering, right? I mean, it is a mind game. And I think, you know, when you look at these young kids who are born sometimes without, you know, without certain limbs, or they have a, or they have an event that causes amputation or something like that, because of where they're at in life, they rebound very quickly because they don't have the baggage that adults have. And, right. And I think that there's such a great lesson to be learned from these young people.
Yes, well, you know, a person who is, say, missing a limb at birth, that's normal, and that's just the way it
right.
is, and it's very, very average. But just coming back to my, you were in a situation where you wanted to trade, like, would you trade losing a leg with being alcoholic, or would you trade losing a leg with having a drug issue?
I would not.
Same here.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just a normal, it's many pounds of weight, but it's just a process of having a setback that is just part of living.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I like your point there. There are a lot of worse things than losing a limb. And the reality is we live in a time where there are a lot of technologies that make that loss not as inconvenient, for lack of better terms. And I think that nowadays, thanks to the work like of people like yourself and others that have come before you, that there's also been a mind shift where people who are wheelchair bound or who are paraplegics, who have had these either by birth defect or by some tragic event, don't have all their limbs. It's not the end of the world. It's not what it was when you were in the 40s and 50s. You're not ostracized by communities. And you can still get a job, and you can, you know, and you can still do amazing things.
That's correct. One of my favorite examples of this is Tammy Duckworth, who's currently a United States Senator out of Chicago, and she is a double amputee. She lost her legs in a helicopter crash, during a war. And when she was first elected a congresswoman, there was a picture of all the female first-term congresswomen in the New York Times, and there she was, and she had a short skirt on. It was very obvious that she had two artificial legs, the point being that she was proud of it. Now,
yes.
When I started running, the way I got involved was a friend of ours who, I'd known for a long time, did not realize I was an amputee, and he suggested I join a YMCA because I was overweight. But had he known that I had one leg, he would have never even thought of it. Okay, I wasn't hiding it, but it's like if you have dentures, you don't necessarily talk about it. Another thing is very interesting is we have many, many wounded veterans join us, like for the New York City Marathon, and when they come to town, more often than not, they're wearing short pants. The translation is that they're very, very proud of how they have succeeded. And that's a very big, big change over the last 50 years.
Yes, absolutely. It's just one of those things that one of those mindsets that has taken time to change. And I think that one of the recurring themes, when there's a mind shift to happen, it really starts with the individuals who refuse to be defined by their challenge, by their handicap, by their whatever you want to call it, right? Stephen Hawking, Dr. Stephen Hawking was a hero of mine. I guess he still is a hero of mine, because to me, he lost everything but his mind. He was trapped in this body that could not move. He had to, he couldn't do anything for himself. He couldn't feed himself. He couldn't go to the bathroom. He couldn't clean himself. And yet he wrote books and he taught classes and he was involved in movies. And I think that people need to be aware of that the limit really comes down to the way we think about ourselves and the way we think about other people. We limit ourselves so much by the way we think.
Yeah, he is a current day hero. Now, going back some years ago, we have a chapter in Mongolia, and the president was on a horse. And she was a teenager, and her friend, threw a rock at the horse just to give her a start. The horse jumped up. She fell down, broke her leg. It became infected. She lost her leg. And then
wow.
She stayed home for 2 years because it was an embarrassment in terms of her going back to high school with one leg. And basically, they got over this. And we currently have a great chapter in Mongolia, which she leads. And she is, from my perspective, a Joan of Arc for people with disabilities.
Yes, yes. And the reality is that some people are chosen, and this is, again, this is my, philosophy of life, by Bert, and that some of us are chosen to take whatever setback that is and be a leader or a beacon or an icon for that setback.
Some of us fall into it, very honestly.
What's that?
Did some of us fall into it by chance or by luck?
Sure. I mean, bottom line is somebody's got to do it. Why not you, right? And I think that my oldest daughter was at the age of 9 was diagnosed with lupus, and for those who aren't familiar with lupus, it basically, it's an autoimmune disease, but it takes a 9-year-old body and makes it like a 70-year-old body. It just has a lot of arthritis and a lot of, a lot of issues. And I used to tell her all the time that, you could be the person that becomes the face of lupus. You could be the person that other people aspire to be like. There are a lot of people that suffer with lupus, but you can be a spokesperson for lupus. You can be the spokesperson for young people with lupus. There's a lot that you can do you've been given this chance, for lack of better terms, this opportunity to do something with it. And again, it's not for everybody. But bottom line is, somebody has to take up the torch, so to speak, and pass it on to the next.
Completely agree. Now, I had a situation many years ago where a picture of my running in the 1976 marathon was given to a young man who was about to lose his leg, and his name was Terry Fox. And
yes.
He was in Canada, and he saw the picture. This is a picture of me in 1976, and according to his mother, he looked at it and he said, "If that old guy can run a marathon, I could run one every day." And he went on to, lose his leg, to begin running, and he ran 2/3 of the way across Canada, raising funds for cancer research. And to date, I believe they've raised over $400 million for cancer research.
That's incredible. And I remember Terry Fox. I remember him. It was a big deal. I mean, he was running every day and sleeping in that van and all that other stuff. That's a committed human being.
Who changed lives.
He did. He absolutely changed lives. He changed the way people thought of human limits. He inspired a bunch of people. Terry Fox and people like you are changing lives. They're inspiring others, and that's a huge thing.
Another thing that's happening, and something that I'm particularly interested in, is the concept of mainstreaming. Okay, and by mainstreaming, by being out there, we have hundreds of people doing New York City Marathon. We have, I guess, 80 people doing a Miami Marathon late January. But by doing this, what you're doing is you're rubbing shoulders with people who aren't disabled, and you provide an image that just because you have a disability doesn't necessarily mean that you are not out there. One of my favorite stories is if you're a below the knee amputee, relative to others, you will run faster uphill than you would on a flat course. So here's Pat, and he's running a race up Mount Washington, and the first 2 miles are flat, and these two folks pass him. They see he has one leg. They pat him on the shoulder. They put a thumbs up, and they say, "God bless you." So by mile four, he's caught up to these people because they're going up the hill, and he passes them. He tapped one of the guys on the back. He put his thumb up, and he wanted to say, "God bless you, too," but he didn't have the nerve.
Oh, that's funny. All right. Well, okay, I'm at a loss. Okay, I'm not thinking scientifically here or mathematically here. So how was he able to go faster uphill?
Well, just basically, if you're missing a leg below the knee relative to others, you can go faster.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Did not know that. That's amazing.
So he was actually a national class athlete. Before he lost his leg, he was doing a 4:15 mile. And, people slow up when they're going up a hill. But if you're an amputee, you don't necessarily have to slow up.
Gotcha. I love that. All right, so what's next for Dick Trom and Achilles International?
we're looking to increase the number of people who join us. And if someone is on the radio and is interested in joining, look up Achilles International. You could look at our website, www.achillestrackclub.org. You can buy this book, The Courage to Go Forward, by getting on Amazon or just Googling. But if you like what we're talking about, get involved.
I love it. I love it. And, okay, so AchillesInternational.org?
Yes, or just Google Achilles International.
Okay, and then, of course, this great book, The Courage to Go Forward. I think that it's a great book. If you know, it's a great gift for somebody that might be struggling, maybe you're struggling, whatever, The Courage to Go Forward by Dick Trom. And who's your co-author again?
Good Gordani.
Thank you, Mr. Gordani. So, Dick, it's been great having you on the show, and I look forward to having you back again and talk more about Achilles International and to get to know some more of your success stories.
My pleasure, and thank you for the invitation.
You bet. You bet. Good stuff there from Dick Trom, the founder of Achilles International. And, you know, nobody wants to lose a limb, obviously. Nobody wants to be born with a defect, obviously. But, you know, it happens. And this book, The Courage to Go Forward, available on Amazon, is a powerful book. The front cover is brilliant. It's an eye-catching cover. And again, just Google or go to Amazon, The Courage to Go Forward. David Gordani and Dick Trom wrote it. And we all need inspiration. We all need help. And we all have the ability to go forward. We sometimes need that courage. And I think that the book, The Courage to Go Forward, will help you with that. And as always, my friends, let's share this episode with everybody we know. There are people out there that need to be lifted up, and we can serve them. We can let them know that they are appreciated, that they cannot, they don't have to be held back by their circumstances, that they can run a marathon or they can do other outrageous things. And as always, my friends, remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.